I want to tell you a little history here with between Dinesh and I. We go back more than 16 years ago. I met Dinesh at Countryside Christian Center when I was training there to be in pastoral ministry. And he had come to Clearwater to basically get married. And he had met Rachel, and they were preparing and planning their wedding. And so he took some classes just to enjoy the classes and pass some time as they're preparing to get married. And that's where I really got to know Dinesh. So that's over 16 years ago. And he said this past Friday was their 16th anniversary. And he said they were watching their wedding video. Yeah, let's give it up for the 16th anniversary. And he saw me in the wedding video. I don't know what I was doing, but we were just there to support you, and we're still supporting you, and we're very happy for you. One thing that I do remember is that myself and my now brother-in-law, Heath, we threw a bachelor party for Dinesh, and it was the lamest bachelor party you've ever seen in your life. I'm sorry, but we had fun, and it worked out between you and Rachel, and you're here today still. And what happened now, last year, Dinesh contacted me via Facebook just to say hello and reconnect, and I'm so glad that he did. From that brief conversation on Facebook, really that led us to a phone call and led us to prayerfully consider as a team financially supporting them on a monthly basis, and now we're doing that as a church. And then since they were here now in the States, we asked him to come and speak. And so I really... Here's my hope and prayer is that those that we're supporting and that we're praying for, they become more than just a name on a web page. That you now have the opportunity to hear his story, hear his testimony, hear what's happening in North India, and be able to get behind them both financially but also prayerfully, and really get to know these friends personally. And so thank you for coming. Thank you for speaking. Let's welcome Dinesh as he comes.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Brother Darren. That was my first bachelor party ever. You know, I never attended anybody's, and that was my first and the last, I think. Okay. Well, so nice to be here. Appreciate it very much, Brother Darren, and what the Lord is doing here in the church as well. And this is my prayer by the time... we finished the church that you will get hold of something the Lord has for today. Would you just close your eyes for a few minutes? Father, we just thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, that you have promised us that you will guide us and lead us. Lord, as we continue to move on with our lives in this chaotic and difficult world, we pray, God, that you will help us to stay focused on you and on your kingdom. Help us, Lord, how we can receive guidance and direction from you. God, there is a hunger within us. Pray, God, that you will allow us to walk in your will and desire in the midst of so many things around us. Thank you, Jesus, that you have trusted us for your kingdom. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, would you please open and let's go to Book of John and chapter 15 and verse 16. As I read this scripture, it says here, You did not choose me, but I chose you and appoint you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. When I look into this scripture deeper, you know, that I feel like Lord has really found me in the darkest world that I come from. I would not say that I found him, according to the scripture, but he's the one who stretched his hand and he found me. And here I am standing in front of you. When I was born, in a very Hindu town, about 40 to 50,000 people. And as I was growing up, I didn't really know anybody else except the Hindu people around me. I was 7 or 8 years old and started asking this question to my parents. Is it possible for me to experience gods, especially the idols that I look at them? How can I experience them? Well, my parents were very happy because I was showing such interest to the spiritual world. And they said, sure, you should. You should go to temple, follow rituals, do all those things, and I'm sure you will experience God. So I started doing all those things, started reading some of those books. And by the time I was 10 years old, I came across a book, and in that book, a passage where it talks about meditation. And it says, if you really want to see God, then you go in a lonely place, means leave your family and everybody, and go in a lonely place, sit there and meditate. And if your meditation is good enough, that will compel God to appear in front of you. Well, that thought really attracted me and really gave some hope to me. I was 10 years old. One morning, I decided to leave home. And I left my home, wrote a little note to my mother that I am going to look for God. If I don't return, just don't be worried. Just know that I am with God. Walked away many miles. And the book also talks about it takes about minimum of 12 years. So I was prepared to be there for 12 years. Walked away and through the woods and finally reached to a dry river. And in the middle of this dry river, I saw a big rock. I thought, well, this would be a good spot to sit and meditate. Because when God appears, you don't want to miss him. That's the whole reason you are there. So I took the position and started meditating the Hindu scriptures. Morning went by. I was hungry. And the afternoon came. But I was determined to see this God. And then evening came. Along with that evening, it started getting dark. And that's where you could hear some noises and the sounds. Planning to be there for 12 years, couldn't really survive there for 12 hours. I dropped the idea, came back home. But my search did not stop. I was looking for God desperately. Now, question of Jesus is not even there. Why? Because there was none who could tell me about Jesus. Every door I knocked, every post, every pole, every place I went, everybody knew about Hinduism and Hindus. So I was actually pushed in that direction. There was nobody who could tell me about Jesus. There was not even a single person in this town, 40 to 50,000 people, who knew anything about Jesus. I continued to look for God, went to this temple, practiced many things, couldn't find. By the time I was 18 years old, actually, I came to this conclusion because of my frustrations and disappointments. I came to this conclusion, perhaps there is no God. And sort of started believing there is no God. I started living in that lifestyle for another 4 years in the college by the time I was. And then I continued that way, finished my college, and then I went for my further study in a different college for another 4 years. This was in a different town. It was my first year in this college. And one morning, on the way to my college, I stopped in a small cafeteria to have my meal. As I was having my breakfast there, that morning, I saw a lady next to my table reading her Bible. And she happened to be a tourist lady from New York City. She was reading her Bible, so we struck the conversation, and she started sharing with me about Jesus. I was very fascinated, so I started hearing and having a good discussion with her. After a few hours of discussion, I said, it was really great talking to you, but I'm not quite sure about this. And we said goodbye to each other. She was back in the U.S. I was back in my college. 1 year went by. After 1 year, I happened to walk in the same cafeteria about the same time of the year, and I saw her again. We had a very good discussion, and she shared with me. And I said, it was really great talking to you, but I'm not sure. I'm not quite convinced about it. And we said goodbye to each other. She was back in the U.S. I was back in my college. 1 year went by. I happened to walk in the same place. And guess what? She was there again. We had another round of discussion. And after the discussion, again, I said, I'm not sure about this. And we said goodbye. That night, I went to my apartment. And I'm not going to say that I saw God in a physical form. But there's no doubt that he actually came in my thought and was so clear that all these years I have been seeking God, and he's stretching his hand over me, he's trying to find me, but I'm the one who's actually hardened my heart. And I suddenly realized that somebody came and turned the light bulb on. And I got so scared that night. I said, oh my goodness. Now what about if this lady never shows up? What would I do? Because I'm in a town where there's literally no church and nobody's around. What about if she never comes back? And what would I do? I couldn't sleep that night. And early morning, 5 o'clock, it was still dark. I went straight to her hotel, knocked on the door. She was surprised to see me at 5 o'clock, of course. You know? And she opened the door and I said, first thing, you've been telling about this God. I need to experience Him now. And that morning, I gave my heart to Jesus. After 1 hour, she took off. So I'm here in this town by myself, not really knowing which direction to go. I didn't even own a Bible, didn't have anything, no church, no fellowship, no prayer, nothing was there. And I started thinking like, well, what do I do? Where do I start now? Now, one thing I did, which I don't know how it really came to me, but I said, well, I'm a believer. I'm supposed to be a nice person now. You know? So I said, okay, I will go to a hospital and show some niceness to some of these people who are sick. So I started going there, and I see some people sitting on the lawn because they are not feeling well. So they're kind of enjoying the sun because it's very cold there. And they're just sitting there. So I started buying newspaper. I would buy the newspaper, go there, and round them up, sit between them, and I'll start reading the newspaper out loud to them. You know, and they would really enjoy. They enjoyed that. I would even read ads for them because they were enjoying it. And I felt like I was really doing, I'm being nice to them, and I'm doing something good to them. It was not a good news that I shared, but I'm sure I read the newspaper for them. So that continued. Then now, I finished my college. I came down to Delhi. My job was already lined up because that's the kind of training I was doing. In a few weeks, I was going to start my work. And in the middle of it, one night, the Lord speaks to me. And He says to me, it was so clear to me. He said to me, Dinesh, I don't want you to join the industries that you're trained for. You will lose yourself. Serve me and you will find yourself. I said, Lord, I know nothing about you. I have no idea where to start and you're asking me to serve you. And this is the training that I have taken for 4 years and you're asking me not to do it. It was tough. I said, but then again He reminded me. What about if when you were 90 years old and I come back to you and ask the same question, have you found out about yourself? What would you say? Would you have a time to go back? I said, no. And that very minute I said, Lord, I'm going to find out about myself. So I went to the church very first time. And I still remember I was standing at the very back. And this church has a tradition to welcome the newcomers. So I was standing at the back, my turn was about to come, and I was supposed to introduce myself, and my throat started choking, my head started sweating, my legs started shivering. I said, well, how do I introduce myself? Anyway, I did introduce, and then following week, I went to the pastor, and I started telling, well, I'm good for nothing, I can't do anything, I don't know anything about this church, or anything to serve the Lord, but I really feel like something I need to do for the Lord. I have no idea where to start. You know, I said, is there any area where I can serve Him without talking to too many people? You know, or two people at a time? I said, well, maybe you'll have to figure it out. You know, but coming from a management background, I went the next following Sunday before anybody showed up. I started kind of took a pad and started writing things. What are the things involved in order to church to be conducted? Well, I saw the chairs and the wires and the music system and sound system and bathroom and reception and tables and this and that. I just kind of made the list of all those things. I said, Pastor, there are a few things that I can do. I said, I said I can do these things, and I started doing those things. And, because I was good at that, lining up those chairs. So I would line up those chairs, making sure they're not even 1 centimeter off, you know, because... And I'm taking the trash out of the bathroom, literally felt there's no doubt in my heart that day. When I started doing those things, I literally felt in my heart that I was serving God. That's the only thing I was good at, and God used it. Little I knew, I was in prayer meeting, prayer groups. Little I knew, I was in a youth group and then became a youth minister. Then I went to Bible school and just on and on and on and on and on and on. Actually, 4 years later, that very church ordained me as the pastor of that church. It's amazing what God can do when we simply follow Him. Simply be faithful. Now, another 4 years went by. I was pastoring this church almost 4 years. And then there was another turn happened in my life. Then I met a very beautiful young lady who happened to be from this area. She was traveling to India. And she was supposed to be there only for 3 months, short-term mission, and only supposed to be there for 3 months. It's been 17 years now. We're still trying to figure out when the 3 months is going to get over. Anyway, Lord led us to be together, and we got married. She has been absolutely a strength and a motivation to me in this journey that Lord has for me. So as we continued, we got married, and then Lord started speaking to me again. And He started showing me again the people that I come from. So one of the scriptures I want to share with you, this is what He showed it to me at that time. If you have a Bible, you can go to the book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Book of Joel, chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Let me read it to you. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, go down, for the winepress is full, the vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitude in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. This is the area where I come from, actually, up north, 6 million people. When you see, these are the people who have never have any experience of Christ. I mean, idol worship, witchcraft, it's like a wickedness is so great. You know, the wickedness there, they have been, I mean, it's like layers of wickedness, I call it. It's not a 100, 200, it's like a thousands of years of layer of wickedness. That's the group, that's kind of darkness I come from. And Lord started reminding me, what about these people? There's like multitude who are willing to make the decision. And He started reminding me, do you remember when you were young, you were looking for God? Could you make the decision? Why? Because there was none. So in the same way, there are many, many millions, many people who are willing to make a decision if only somebody can go and share the gospel. Tell them about good news. Now, I was sure somebody shared with me, not in that place, in somewhere else. And Lord brought me to Him. So Lord started reminding me all these people. I said, Lord, I have a very good job. Now I'm pastoring a church. I am also married. I mean, these two things are very important to men. Men will agree with me, I think. You know, if you have a job and you have a wife, I think you are set, right? Amen, amen to that, right? So I was really happy with that. I don't want to move, you know. And if you want to send me to a bigger place, bigger city or better city, don't send me back. It's like, you know, He wants to give you a promotion to send you a bigger city, not the demotion, sending you back to the woods. And Lord was reminding me, what about these people? I said, Lord, this is going to be tough. So as I started having this discussion with the Lord, I said, could you just help me understand, Lord, what exactly you would like us to do up in the mountain? And He said, I wouldn't tell you until you get up there. I said, well, that would be tough, you know. I mean, that means we resign from everything. So we resign. And Lord said, go ahead and get up there and start praying. So I said, okay. Well, in the back of my mind, I thought, well, I'm sure we'll pray for a week, 10 days. He's going to speak to us. You know, if that doesn't happen, then we'll go on our knees, you know, like a really knees and get some scars on our knees. And we'll show Him the scars and then He will speak. If that doesn't happen, then we go and buy some of those books, How to Hear God, you know, and that will happen. If that doesn't happen, then we'll go for fasting, you know, a sort of a hunger strike. We'll make Him speak to us, you know. I mean, that's kind of a mindset I had, you know. I said, but that's not what really Lord wanted us to do. We moved up in the mountain, and one morning He said, you know, you think through your prayer I'm going to move the mountain around you. Then you're wrong. I said, what do you mean, Lord? I mean, that's what you're supposed to do when you pray. Something should happen, He said, no, 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 then you are wrong. Through your prayer, I'm not moving the mountains around. What I'm doing is, I'm changing you inside. I'm doing something in you. This is an area which has been actually, if you see the mission history, historically, it has been known as a missionary graveyard and the missions graveyard. About 104 years ago, there was a man called Samuel Stokes from Pennsylvania. He went there as a young missionary, 19 years old, and started his mission. And as he was doing his mission, he's the one who actually brought the apple seed in our state. You know, and by the time he was 25 years old, he met a girl from our state and he wanted to marry her. So he went to her father, and father said to her that you can marry my daughter, but only in one condition, that if you would become Hindu. Unfortunately, he became Hindu at the age of 25. Can you imagine? A missionary literally died at the age of 25, I would say. And today, if you go in the village where he started his work, actually, you go, there is a temple. Inside you go, there is a statue. And guess what? Whose statue is that? Mr. Samuel Stokes. People come and worship him. This is an area that God was calling us. There was a reason that the Lord was really saying to us why he wants us to pray. You know, and I started having one day this mathematical discussion with the Lord. You know, and he said to me, he said, well, tell me, Dinesh, how many people can you really reach in your lifetime? I said, well, maybe 1,000. No, Lord, I can do better than that. 2,000. No, no, no. I can do better than that, Lord. 5,000. This is the discussion we are having. And he said, no, no, I think. I said, Lord, I can do better than that. 10,000. I mean, I reached to a 20,000 figure. He said, after that? He said, well, by the time 20,000, I'll be old and I'm pretty much sliding down, you know. And it will be time to go home. He said, that's it. So you're saying 20,000 people, but what about 6 million people out there? And that day he said to me, he said, whatever you do, I'm going to bless you. There's no doubt about it. Whatsoever is in your heart, whatever you do in my name, I'm going to bless you. But you seek my face, you pray and seek my face, you will be blessed beyond you can imagine. So take your pick. I said, Lord, we'll continue to pray. We prayed and prayed 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. We had 14 teams coming from overseas alone in 12 months' time who came to pray with us between 5 days to 14 days, minimum 5 days and maximum 14 days. I had many friends call me from overseas and say, hey, we'd like to come and work with your ministry. I said, please come. We don't have any church you can preach. We don't have any Bible school training center you can do anything. So if you would come and pray with us. They said, you want us to spend thousands of dollars, come to your country, sit in a room and pray? I said, exactly. And many said, we'll pray about it. And many said, we are coming. And many came. They stood with us in that prayer journey. Lord strengthened us tremendously during that time. I still remember at the age when we were 16 months there, and one morning I was really discouraged in my heart. I said, Lord, we've been here for so long, we still don't know what exactly we are supposed to do. Of course, God again and again reminded us that do not underestimate prayer. It's equally important, you know. So one morning I was walking on the street, just having a short conversation with him, and he showed me on the side, there was a few people who were working on the side of the road, and one lady I saw, I started watching her, she would take one, like a rock, about 15 to 20 pounds at a time, and she would place in front of her, and she had this small hammer, and she would try to, you know, she would take this hammer and strike right at the center of the stone, and I watched her, that, you know, you can see the bouncing back sound, because the hammer was like very small, like stone seems to be very strong and hammer seems to be very small, and strike seems to be looking very insignificant. And I started thinking, why would even she try to break with this hammer, you know, this heavy stone? But then she would strike and strike and strike, and after a few strikes, I saw fine cracks, mark is taking place. And after a few strikes, I saw fine cracks are developing. And after a few strikes, I saw this stone turn into pieces. And I said, thank you, Lord. You know, our walk with God is exactly the same way. We make a visible move. We make a visible strike. But somehow, we fail to see an invisible impact that is happening. Our spiritual eyes are the one actually, we have to keep those spiritual eyes open that we can see an invisible impact that you are doing in your community so that you can continue to make those visible strikes in their community. I mean, this lady, she kept hating me until I broke into pieces. You know, she did not give up. So I want us to know that giving up is not something that belongs to Christians and to the people, those who serve the Lord. And we continued for another 2 months. And after 2 months, one morning, Lord spoke to us. And he said, I want you to train the local indigenous people and help them plant the churches. I said, Lord, thank you. We have finally in our hands. So I still remember very first day when we sent the letters out, and it was very first training right in our living room. And we were very excited. And only 4 people showed up. I said, Lord, 4 people here. You know, and we are trying to reach 6 million people, and here you are giving me 4 people. Lord, this math is not going too well here, you know. And you know what Lord said? Do not despise the small beginning. Give your best. We did our best for those 4 people. Send them back. I said, come back after a few weeks. They came back with another training. And then they came back with 4 more people. And then 8 more people, and 10 more people, and 30 more people. And once we had 60 people right in our living room. And that's when my wife said, can we find some other facility? I think that's a very good idea. Today I stand almost 13 years later in front of you. In the place where we have started the work the Lord has allowed us to do. There's not a big enough hall that we can rent out for our entire training. In that part of the world where there was literally nothing, Lord has allowed us to plant 80 churches. More than 10,000 believers every Sunday come to these churches to worship the Lord. You ask them, how many of you got saved in the last 20 years? Literally, you will see none, no hands. How many 15? Maybe a few hands. How many in 10 years? Half of them. And how many 5 years? Rest half. It's amazing what God is doing in that part of the world. I was praying one day, you know, and Lord really rebuked me, and he said to me, he said, Dinesh, I don't want you to pray for a success of your ministry. You see, when you are serving the Lord, success becomes kind of a part of you. You want to be successful. And this is what really told me. He said, I don't want you to pray for the success of your ministry. I said, Lord, it's all about success. What do you mean, you know? I mean, we need to be successful. And same time, he said, I don't want you to pray for the failures of also. You don't want us to succeed. You don't want us to fail. What do you want, Lord? And you know what he said? He said, I want you to be faithful. Pray for the faithfulness. And you watch and see what I will do. In book of Isaiah 119, it says, it's really a beautiful verse. Of course, you know, we can take this scripture in many, many angles. But this is what the Lord really told me. He said, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You shall eat the good of the land. For me, you know, this is what the Lord said. Good of the land is the souls, is the kingdom. That's what it is for us. You know, what are we going to eat the land? We can't eat the land. We can't eat the... How much can we really eat physically? But this is what the really Lord showed me. That good of the land is the souls in that area. And he reminded me, if you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. That means Lord will give us so many souls in that part of the world where there's literally nothing has happened. I mean, this is an area, 6 million people, 0.08% Christian, 1 out of 1,000. This is an area, thousands of years have gone by. Can you imagine that Christ died 2,000 years ago for every mankind? But these are the people who still do not know what Christ has done for them. It is our responsibility, I feel it's my responsibility, our responsibility to bring this good news of Christ, what he has done on the cross 2,000 years, and bring this news to them so they can relate and have joy, have peace, have that eternal promise that God has given to all of us and we are enjoying it. We must bring this message to these people. Today I see an amazing work God is doing just because of the willingness, just because of the obedience, just because of the faithfulness. I have 2 pastors which we started working with them along with the other churches that we have planted. Lord has allowed us to plant And one has 150 people, and another one has 120 people. And they are way up in the China border. And you'll be surprised to see their, if you see, if you find out about them, you'll be quite surprised. Both of them are completely blind. They're completely blind. Their wives are always with them to take them around. But they're leading the congregation of 150 people and 120 people. Isn't that something that God doesn't really see? Many of the qualifications, many of the degrees, many of the experience that you and I tend to see. But God sees the heart. These blind people are leading others. They're allowing other people to see Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing what God is doing. I have another pastor who has an artificial leg. You ask him, "We're going to go to that mountain." He said, "When can we go?" A man with an artificial leg, willing to go to any extent, to any direction, for the sake of the gospel. For the sake of the gospel. A lady, she got saved. And then right after she got saved, she asked me that if I would come to her village, to her home. And I said, okay, I'll come there. So I went to her home. And when I was in her home, I didn't know what to expect. So I thought maybe she just wants me to meet her family. And she was only just 1 month old in the Lord. And as I went inside the room, I saw 20 people sitting inside. I said, well, maybe I'm supposed to share the good news and get these people saved, you see. You know? So no, that was not the case. I said, well, tell me about you. I said, well, these all are believers. I said, okay, well, that's very good news. One work is done. So what is next to do? He said, well, how did you get saved? Well, this is a lady. I said, well, this lady doesn't even know how to pray. I mean, she's only 1 month in the Lord, and she has led 20 people to the Lord. Amen. I was very surprised. You know, I said, well, tell me, how did it happen? Well, I was sick, and this lady came, and she simply prayed. And I said, well, I was very curious to really know how did she pray, because she doesn't know a whole lot, you know. And she said, well, she just laid hand and said, Lord, heal him. And then what happened? So Lord healed me. So I was more curious. Okay, well, tell me about yourself. The other person said, well, I was alcoholic, and I was really having a hard time to get rid of. So then she prayed, and I'm no more alcoholic now. Well, tell me about how did it happen? And she said, well, she came and she laid a hand on me, and she said, Lord, take care of his problem. And Lord did that. I mean, I'm really surprised how God is so real in the lives of these people and doing an amazing work and bringing his kingdom, bringing his good news to the hearts of these people who are completely lost. Completely lost. In one meeting I was, right after the, I'll just share with you one of the testimony that right after the meeting, at the very end of the meeting, old lady came to me and said, would you come and pray for my son? I said, well, we are already late. Could you just bring him over here? And she said, no, I can't bring him because he's sort of in a coma for the last 3 days, and doctor have come and checked, but he's not able to open his eyes. Medically, nothing wrong. So he's just laying in the house, and they're medically helping him. And he just his eyes are shut, and can you come over and pray? So I said, okay, well, we'll pray for your son. And on the way out, when we finish the meeting, we'll just stop and we'll pray. So we had other people with me. So we drove over to her house and we stopped. And I told the rest of the team, I said, well, you guys just stay in the car and I'll just quickly go pray and come back. I mean, literally, I did not even turn off the car. And the car was still on. And why I'm saying that? I was literally that day, I was very tired, very, very tired. And I said, well, I'll just go and quickly pray. I wouldn't mind using the word formality. You know, I was just wanted to do a formality of prayer, you know, because I was very tired. I wanted to do it. So I went up there, saw this person. I started praying, you know. It's just like a quick prayer. And as I started praying, in less than 10 seconds, I hear this yawning sound in the room while my eyes were shut. So I kind of peeked my eyes. I said, who is distracting my formality prayer? You know, I became literally, started showing a little spirituality over there, you know. So I started looking, I said, who is disturbing my prayer of formality here? And I look around and this guy is actually trying to yawn. And next thing, oh Lord, you are doing something. So I got serious now, you know. I got real more serious, so I started really praying. And as I started praying, he next few seconds, he's trying to stretch his eyes, trying to open it. And a few seconds later, you know, less than a little over a minute, I see his eyes are wide open, looking to the ceiling. And of course, Lord, you know, kind of he was awoke, and then I gave him something to drink and help him sit that day. But I want you to know something. There's no doubt that day, God opened that person's eyes. There's no doubt about it. But more than him, he opened my eyes. I want you to know something. God, sometimes we do fall into those categories of formality, but it's the intention of your heart. It's the willingness. You see, we can get tired. It's the physical body that will go through all sorts of situations. I was very tired that day. Does that mean God did not honor my intention? I didn't have any faith that day, I would say. I was completely running in the fume. But God is not, sometimes, you know, faith comes after you take one step. It's not a step of faith. It's a step of formality. It's a step of courage. It's a step of your intention is the one that would allow you to meet your Mr. Faith that is already there. You see? And many times we think until we have a bag of faith on our back, then only we will do something. I think maybe we have misunderstood this scripture a little bit over here. Faith is already there. In order to activate the faith, you got to have a little courage, a little boldness. That day, I was completely without faith, or maybe little faith. But I stepped out of the intention of my heart. And Lord took that and honored that. And immediately my faith grew. I want us to know God is waiting on each one of us. Just a little step of courage. Just a little step of willingness. Because there is intention in your heart. That's why you're sitting here this morning. It's the intention of the kingdom is the one that is forcing you, compelling you to come every Sunday and join the worship and enjoy the word of God. It's the intention. Now let's take it to the next level. Next level is let's move to the courage. And then you watch it, how faith starts coming. I was driving right here in Jacksonville last time when I was here. And a friend of mine, he was driving, I was sitting next to him. And he said, I saw a little board, a little white, like a cardboard. And I saw, of course, there are many homeless people you see. And I read it quickly. He said, helps traveling, God bless. And we already half a mile down. I said, hey, Jack, can we do something? He said, I don't know what you want to do. You know, you want to turn around? I said, well, let's turn around. Let's go back. So we went back. And as we went back, and I rolled the window. I'm from India, so I really don't know exactly how to say every word, you know. So I said, well, what's your problem, ma'am? You know, and she said, well, I was promised a job from, I'm from California, and now I ran out of money, and I need money to go back. I don't have anything. I said, well, how much money do you need? She said, I need $280. I said, oh, that's kind of a little bit too much. If it's rupees, I would give you, but 280 is a little bit more, you know. So I said, well, and now I'm kind of put myself in a situation, but I said, well, when did you eat last? She said, well, I have not eaten. I said, well, can I buy a meal for you? You know, and she said, yes. I said, well, go across the McDonald's and I'll meet you over there. So we went over there. I told my friend, you stay in the car, and he had some business to do. I went over to the counter and looking, I said, what would you like to buy? And she said, looked at this. She said, she's supersized. I said, okay, go ahead. You know, so we placed the order in a while. And then I pull my wallet out, and there is nothing in my wallet. I mean, literally nothing. I said, Lord, what an embarrassing situation you put me here. What a situation here. I'm trying to be a nice person here. I have a good intention, and I have nothing in my pocket. So I pull out all my ones. So I reached to $5. I said, well. Then I go to the back pocket, there's some coins, so I go to a few quarters, and 50 and 2 quarters, and then 60 cents and 70 cents, and then I go to all the pennies. I pull out all the pennies, and then, you know, 71, 2, 3, 4, and 76, and the guy behind the counter said, $5.76. My mouth literally dropped. I said, God, you can do an amazing work. That $5.76 increase my faith tremendously. Why? It started with a little embarrassing situation. There is no doubt he put me in embarrassing, but out of it, because of courage and good intention, and because of the faithfulness that you want to serve God, God will put you in a situation. But watch it, you will come out victoriously. Amen. You will come out victoriously. Why? Because you just want to follow him. That day, $5.76, I can believe for many, many dollars now. Because of that day, I encountered God tremendously that day. I want us to know God is waiting on us. We do not have thousands of years to plant few churches. We have only a few years to plant thousands of churches. I want us to know it's your faithfulness, it's your persistence, it's your perseverance is the one that will make the difference. The reason I say sometimes, this is my favorite quote, I will say, by perseverance and by commitment, even snail reach to the ark. If you can just follow him. At the end, I like to read a little. Okay. Okay, here you go. I want to read it, and then we have a small video, and then we'll hand over to Pastor Duren. If you can hear me, this says, it says here, the time is short, hear the Master's call. Decide today to follow him through all. Go forth in a radiant joy. Plant seeds of love. Proclaim my word, and I will build my church. It will endure. The fields are white. The harvest is at hand. Do not delay. Press on at the command, at his command. Reach out in love, that empty hearts be filled. Reach out in peace, that troubled hearts be stilled. Witness for Christ, that dying souls may live. With Spirit's power, the kingdom message give. Lord, send me forth. Declare your word through me in daily life, the sinner's friends to be. God bless you. Thank you so much.
Forefront Mission is working in the least evangelized state of North India. A land known for beauty and darkness, where every mountain peak is dedicated to a Hindu god. There are 6 million people of different tribes and languages, and the majority of the population is devoted to idol worship and witchcraft. There is less than one believer for every 1,000 resident. Thousands of villages are still waiting to hear the gospel. The harvest is ready, but the workers are few. Forefront Mission is making a difference in this area of the world by training and discipling local indigenous church planters to reach their people groups for the Lord. These church planters work among their own people groups, bringing the gospel to the unreached. They are involved in village and town church planting movements, and in the last 15 years have planted 80 strong churches in 3 North Indian states. Forefront has seen an amazing growth in the churches in North India, and in 2012 witnessed more than 700 baptisms and 1,000 decisions for Christ. Many of these decisions for Christ come from families that have spent generations in witchcraft and idol worship, never knowing the truth until a Forefront missionary went to share the gospel with them. Maharaj, ab tum One strategy the Lord gave Forefront Mission in reaching the unreached people groups has been sewing centers, beautician centers, and music schools. Through these centers, men and women are not only equipped with a valuable trade, but taught daily God's Word through Bible study and prayer. 95% of the men and women that attend these trainings accept the Lord before the end of the 10-month training.
Dinesh, I want to thank you for speaking this morning and for sharing your life, your testimony, for challenging us. This was a message that really, I believe, is a call to faithfulness and courage. A call to prayer. Are we going to be faithful to pray? Faithful to trust the Lord? To courageously go to Him in prayer? You know, as we think about what God has done through Dinesh and Rachel and Forefront Mission, It was a foundation that there was a foundation that was laid for the first many months, built on prayer, trust, this expressed dependency on the Lord. And I think sometimes what can happen even in our own lives, and I know you can relate to this, we pray for something, we ask God for something, we're trusting the Lord to save maybe a rebellious child, or to draw them back in, or to, you know, heal a marriage, or to save a neighbor, or to do a work in our hearts, or whatever it might be. And we grow weary. And we think, Lord, what else can I do? And we might look at prayer as insignificant or small. Have you given up? We've been learning about this in the book of Job, in this series in Job, where Job just didn't give up. He didn't stop talking to God. Just want to encourage you. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord would be saying to us as a church, to keep praying. To believe God for the impossible. To believe that God is going to use you where you are to bring people into His kingdom. You're not here by mistake. We're not together. We're not gathering together on a week in and week out basis just to gather for ourselves. Oh, that He'd use us on mission where we are. And isn't it exciting that we can get behind those who are going to the unreached people groups of the world? That we can partner with them. Now, you might not go to India. Maybe one of you will one day. Maybe you have a fire growing in your heart for another part of the world. But here's what I know. God has you here. God has you here now. And He's sent you here. Sometimes in our minds, and I'll end with this, we can think this. There are goers and there are senders. And so I'm just gonna send people out. The truth is this, that God has sent you here. He sent you here. He's equipped you with His Spirit, to be a witness, to be a testimony for His gospel. And He calls us to send others to places we can't go and to equip them. That's our calling. Dinesh, you stirred my heart, man. Thank you. Thank you for your example of faithfulness in prayer and just humbling yourself and opening yourself up to us this morning and sharing stories that didn't put you on some huge platform and so that we walk away saying how great Dinesh is. We're walking away saying how great God is through you. So thank you. I mean, you're pretty cool too, so. All right? We like you. Guys, if we could close with a word of prayer for Rachel and Dinesh. Let's do that now. Father, thank you so much for what we've been able to experience this morning and how we've just been able to receive and hear, Lord, from Dinesh. Father, we pray now that you would go before them in their ministry, that you would bless them, that you would multiply, Father, the laborers that are partnering with them in North India, that you would continue to give them the faith. Lord, as they put their hand to the plow, that they would just continue to fix their eyes on Jesus, pray, Father, specifically that, Father, as they've challenged us, as Dinesh has challenged us to persevere and to be courageous, that he himself would continue to grow in that courage and perseverance, that he would stand firm, that he would let nothing move him, that he would always give himself fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that his labor in you is not in vain. Father, would you bless him, God, with discernment? Would you bless him and Rachel and those who are partnering with them in North India with favor? Continue, Lord, to give them the grace they need to train leaders, plant churches, and change lives. Father, we look to you and give you praise for the fruit that we've been able to hear about. We pray it would just multiply for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.